saw my reflection in snow-covered hills till the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? Can a child within my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing ocean tides? Can I handle the seasons of my life? Mm-hmm. Well, I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I've built my life around you. But time makes you bolder, even children get older, and I'm getting older too. In the snow-covered hills, where the landslide bring you down. And if you see my reflection in the snow-covered hills, where the landslide bring you down.
Good evening, Saratoga. That was, of course, Landslide by Stevie Nicks, a very fitting song for the occasion. This episode of Red Alert is brought to you by the Masters of Disasters, and of course, it's all about landslides. Landslides are commonly thought of as mud and rock falling down a slope. This common assumption is only partially true. Landslides fall, no pun intended, into the more general category of mass movements. A mass movement can be anything from a rock falling off a cliff to snow racing down a mountain, the ground falling out beneath you in the case of a sinkhole. A mass movement is anything that falls, flows, slides, or subsides. They can and do occur just about everywhere in the world, but most frequently in areas with steep slopes. Just because you live in a flat area does not mean that you're safe, though. Mass movements have occurred almost everywhere, from high mountain peaks to the ocean floor. In 1996, in Yosemite National Park in California, a 162,000-ton mass of rock, the same weight as 100,000 Honda Accords, or roughly half the weight of the Empire State Building, came sliding off a cliff wall and was launched into the air for over 1,000 feet. Despite one dead, this granite mass reached a speed of 270 miles per hour while knocking down thousands of fully grown trees. Further north in Alaska, a landslide triggered by an earthquake wreaked havoc on Anchorage in 1964. A landmass 28 football fields long and 4 football fields wide along the seashore was pushed 2,000 feet towards the sea. Many houses were destroyed, including all on the landmass itself. The Earth is rarely friendly, and these are just a few examples, among literally hundreds to thousands of mass movements that occur worldwide. So your main question must be, how and where do landslides occur? The answers are not very simple, and that makes things interesting. There are three major factors in creating a landslide: gravity, water, and erosion. Gravity is always trying to pull everything down, a simple concept we're all familiar with. Whenever gravity can overcome friction, things tend to tumble, flow, or slide down. Water plays a more complicated role in producing landslides. Water can act from the inside or outside of the ground surface. When it acts from the outside, water is eroding, which we'll get to next. When water percolates inside the ground, it decreases the coherency between particles. Now this doesn't matter on flat ground, but on a slope, when water is absorbed by the ground, it coats the particles, pushing materials like sand, clay, and rock apart. This lubrication helps the soil or sediment to flow or slide downhill. Water also adds extra weight, enhancing the effect of gravity. An easy way to think of this is by picturing Elmer's glue. When Elmer's glue is dry, there's no moisture in it, and it holds surfaces together. But when Elmer's glue is fresh from the bottle, it runs along paper, and two sheets of paper can slide right past each other, just like the ground. Water also lowers the viscosity of materials. Viscosity is a measure of how easily a substance flows. Let's think about ice cream. You spill a bowl of ice cream on the table, the scoops sit right where they fell. But if you spill a milkshake on the table, the milkshake will spread everywhere and cover everything. The destruction, even in this example, is much greater when the substance is more viscous or more watery. The last great factor in creating landslides is erosion. Erosion or weathering can occur in many ways. Rain and wind can erode rock and weaken the materials holding it in place. Rainwater creates runoff, which easily erodes rock at its base. This can be especially dangerous in the case of rock falls. If the base can no longer support the weight it is carrying, then it will be brought down by gravity, like in the case of the Yosemite rock slide. Now that you know why landslides occur, it's important to know the areas most likely to be hit by them. Landslides typically occur in areas near a tectonic fault. What this means to you is that landslides occur near mountains, volcanoes, in places frequently hit by earthquakes. A good area for a landslide to occur is one with sloping hills or mountains that receive heavy rain. The rain will saturate the ground, increasing weight and lessening cohesion, sending muddy masses rushing downhill. But just because you live in a flat area doesn't mean you're safe. Limestone areas are also prone to sinkholes, where the roof of an underground cave gives way and the surface collapses, sometimes spectacularly. In 1981, in Winter Park, Florida, a peculiar event occurred. The ground began to fall beneath the buildings. A sinkhole, over 300 feet wide and 100 feet deep, sank so fast people didn't even have time to move their cars out of the area. Other danger zones are mountain slopes, steep sea cliffs, and bluffs along riverbanks. I'll leave you folks with that for now.
Thank you. grass is good and can't sustain like one half could. It's one and more. It's gonna send me to my knees. Oh, oh. Gravity, stay the hell away from me. Oh, oh. Gravity has taken better men than me. How can that be? Just keep me where the light is.
The symptoms of stroke? If you feel the onset of sudden severe headache, sudden arm or leg weakness, or sudden trouble walking, talking, or seeing, any of these could be the symptoms of a stroke. Learn to recognize a stroke. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit strokeassociation.org, because time lost is brain lost. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association, the Ad Council, and your local station.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to our episode of Landslides, brought to you by Dangerous Earth, and our DJs better known as the Masters of Disasters. Okay, so now that you have a general understanding of what a landslide is, it's about time to graduate onto the next level in the School of Hard Rocks. In order to move on, you will be required to know the different types of landslides out there. You think you're ready? Of course you are. Class is officially in session. So for those fantastic listeners we have out there, truthfully, how many of you know the various types of landslides that are out there? And if there are even different types for that matter. No? Well, that's perfectly fine. In fact, that's the reason why we have the show. But for the ears still tuned in for the answers, there are four main types of landslides that you should know the overview of. Falls, slides, flows, and subsides, because they are each dangerous in their own unique way. So, have you ever driven your vehicle through mountain country, maybe on the way to ski or hike, and noticed bright yellow signs stating, "Warning, rockfall hazard"? Well, the reason for these signs are to warn us of the possibility of rockfalls, one of the many types of landslides. The reason behind the falling of these dangerous rocks is due to the constant wearing away of steep mountain slopes over time. Rockfalls are often triggered by the freezing of water, growth of plants in their roots, earthquakes, the force of gravity, or by, well, us. Animals and hikers on steep slopes can set off a rockfall by simply hiking over or near a weakened area on a slope. Quite similar to the time it takes to miss a train or walk up a flight of stairs, rockfalls occur in just a matter of seconds. They are quite difficult to avoid if caught in one of Earth's spontaneous actions. So if any of you snowboarders or skiers, and the season is coming up, on your way up to whichever mountain you're headed to, check to see if you spot rockfall warnings. And if so, speed up approximately 20 miles an hour until about 30 yards or so past the sign. Then you should be about clear. But also make sure to keep a heads up while walking ahead under steep cliffs as well. Those can be dangerous. Now, slides, on the other hand, may be a bit harder to outrun. The category of slides branches off into two: rotational and translational slides. Rotational slides are better known as slumps. This may come at a lot of you by surprise, but slumps get their name from how they droop down a slope by the force of gravity. Slumps are slides that are curved concavely upward, like that of a halfpipe, and the slide movement follows this shape to the point in which it flattens and stops. These slumps can vary in size and are dependent upon the height of the slope. Translational slides don't have another name, unfortunately, so we have to address it with the long and unappealing title it was given. With these slides, masses move down the slope by sliding on weak surfaces, soft rocks slipping off hard rocks, or hard rocks being separated by soft rocks. The word rocks may be getting a bit irritating and redundant, but bear with me, please. It's all towards the understanding of the bigger picture. Translational slide masses do function differently than slopes, in which they may sometimes be a massive block moving downhill, may disintegrate to form a debris-dominant slide, or the materials below the slide can mix into the overlying material to create breaks in the slide. All three functions with the power, like any other slide, obtaining the potential of crafting a pretty ugly result. So, this marks the halfway point in the episode Landslides. We will be taking a short break and allowing you to listen to some of the fantastic tunes we have planned for today's broadcast.
Listen to the words he'd say, but in his voice I heard decay. The plastic face forced to portray all the insides left cold and gray. There is a
Welcome back to this segment of Landslides. We left off at falls and slides. Now we embark on a slightly different type of landslide. Imagine an enormous mass of water mixed with trees, boulders, debris, among many other things, moving at immense speeds towards you. What do you do? Well, if you have an answer, let me know, because truthfully, there isn't much you can do. These massive movements are recognized as flows. Flows are mass movements that behave like fluids and are often a mixture of various materials that get dragged into the heap of liquid hell. The water contents can vary from dry to sloppy wet, and the velocities can range from speeds similar to molasses or, for those automobile fanatics out there, to that of a Porsche 911 GT3, which has an average top speed of 190 miles per hour. To gauge the impact that a flow has on humanity, look at an example of earth flow that broke off an ancient slump and resulted in the destruction of 12 homes in La Conchita, California, in March 1995. These flows are devastating monsters that can sweep out your home from its foundation as if it were a leaf on the ground. Subsides are a different story, though. They possess the same concept as other landslides, in which they are the downward movement of mass. However, subsides are frequently associated with the moist and water-saturated materials below the surface not coming together fast enough, or the rapid collapse of Earth's surface into caves. Now, one thing that sets subsides apart from the other landslide types is that we have a slight impact over how effective they are. Yes, that's right. We can do something to prevent subsides to a certain degree. Around the globe, there are spots in which ground surface is slowly sinking. Some may be wondering what causes these phenomena. Well, it's simple, sort of at least. As fluids are removed below the surface, or when water or oil is pumped up to the surface, there is a distinct removal of fluid volume. This causes rock grains to be more compact, and this is an issue because the fluid within rocks helps support the weight of each overlying rock layers. An analogy for this process is trying to carry a friend in a swimming pool where the water helps support the friend's body weight, making them lighter. The ground surface in some areas of the Great Valley in California has subsided slowly to depths of about 100 feet due to pumping groundwater to the surface for crop irrigation. As you may have already deduced from this portion, known as different types of landslides, landslides come in different functions and sizes and intensities. As it may seem evident, these are things you don't want to be near, and if possible, avoid these colossal, unpredictable beasts. Thanks for listening, and I wish you the best in keeping your lives landslideless.
Now it's finally time for this week's Red Alert Landslide Warning Time. Get ready to hear about exciting prevention methods for your unwelcomed neighborhood landslides. And you better listen, too. If you think you're safe from landslides, think again, especially if you're a resident of the United States. Every single state in the U.S. of A. has experienced some form of a landslide, so be prepared. Now, have you ever heard the expression, lightning never strikes the same place twice? Well, lightning might be the exception on this radio show, because most natural disasters occur in the same place, not twice, but multiple times. As we learned during Red Alert's premiere show, hurricanes, for example, are prone to hitting the same environments year after year. The same idea of recurrence reigns true with volcanoes, earthquakes, and, yes, you guessed it, landslides too. Geologists have found ways to identify landslide-prone areas, one of which is retracing landslides past. Though following past events doesn't work as well with predicting shallow landslides, deep-seated landslides will most likely occur in a place where they have occurred previously. So how does one find these areas if disasters occurred in the distant past? Well, an engineering geologist, Bill Burns, was quoted in Earth magazine stating that these events, landslides, leave a distinct mark on topography, concave scarps at their tops, distinct depressions in their middle sections, and steepened areas at their toes. To state it more simply, landslides make a noticeable mark on its previous path. You can tell where a landslide has occurred based on the contours and shapes of the land that has previously fallen, for example, a steep cliff. There are also new technologies that geologists are experimenting with in hopes of predicting landslides. An example of this technology is light detection and ranging equipment called LIDAR, which is giving geologists a new perspective in scoping out landslide risk by revealing detailed images of topography, even beneath forests. It's really cool. LIDAR helps physicists, astronomers, and many other scientists besides geologists, too, because it can scan the Earth's surface for subtle topographic features like land surface elevation of river terraces, but It can also measure the distance between the Earth and reflectors placed on the Moon. Landslides are one of the most difficult red alert disasters to prepare for. But now that you have some background knowledge, I will leave you with 5 steps to prepare yourself for landslides as much as you possibly can. Number 1. Try to recognize whether a hill looks like it has suffered a landslide before. Look at the slope. If it's steep, gravity will most likely bring it down eventually. Number 2. Check water levels at the bottom of a steep slope. Lots of water found at the bottom of a slope can mean a landslide is approaching. Number 3. Check for vegetation on a sloped hill. Vegetation is a good sign that the landslide will not occur because it keeps mud in place and helps expel water from the ground, which is most often the cause of the slide. Number 4. Watch for curved trees or random springs or ponds on a sloping hillside. These are signs of an approaching landslide. And last but not least, number 5. If you hear a distant rumbling sound, run. But if you see a path of a slide, run to the side. Don't try to outrun it. You'll lose.
Yeah. And that was Shakers and Movers by Midnight Oil. Welcome back to this week's episode of Red Alert on landslides. So why are landslides a problem? It may seem like a bit of a stupid question, but knowing the answer can lead us to figuring out how they are triggered, how to prevent them, and how to recover from them. Landslides are a problem because they cause major property damage, which includes, but is not limited to, loss of homes and industry. If a home or building is built in a region that is inclined to have landslides, or is built in such a way that can cause one, that building will be lost. And it will be sort of like, I don't know, watching the Titanic go down. Okay, that may be exaggerating a little bit. Losing your home is one thing, but imagine if we were talking about something like a chemical plant or some other kind of factory. Imagine the damage that could cause. Or what if you were a farmer? Imagine watching your whole crop and your livelihood for that entire year go sliding down a hill. Sounds like a funny picture, but this actually happens. If you live in a third world country, losing your fields could mean your family could starve. Landslides also destroy roads and vehicles. So yeah, they're pretty expensive. I mean, try explaining to your insurance company that you lost your car to a sinkhole. Plenty of insurance companies have a provision for natural disasters like earthquakes, hurricanes, and landslides, though which, I mean, is nice, but still it's your car, and it's still a lot of money. So, landslides tend to occur in the same places they have in the past, so bear that in mind. To prevent experiencing a landslide, avoid building on steep slopes or in mountainous regions, and building near drainage ways and natural erosion valleys are not recommended. Those mountainous places are sometimes steep for a reason. Past landslides made it that way, and oceans and rivers will erode the base of a slope quietly until it all comes down in a landslide. And even in the flat country of so-called flyover states like Nebraska, landslides still tend to happen along steep stream gullies, which are far more common than generally would be believed. It does not help that to improve their views or to put in structures, people tend to cut down trees on their properties, which provide the most basic natural protection against landslides. Those trees have roots that are holding the ground in place. Take that away and that gorgeous dream home or brand new four-car garage is washed away the next time the ground decides it wants to move, or it rains. Hard. If you know you live in a landslide-prone area, try watering less on any slopes you may have and place many large rocks on any hills, which should also be planted with lots of vegetation, I might add. The plant roots will hold the soil in place while the rocks put pressure down on the slope. Other methods used to prevent landslides include benching, building walls, and putting in still nets. The problem is we often do not know what these places look like, or sometimes there are contractors and developers who do not really care if they're building on unstable ground. Once the property is sold, it's no longer their problem. It becomes the homeowner's issue. I mean, you can still sue, but it's not guaranteed you would win. So if you're looking at homes, look for signs, cracks in the walls, fences or poles tilted on angles, as well as unstable walls. If you have hills on your property, be sure that the toe, which is the bottom of the hill, has not been cut away and that there is plenty of vegetation, both with strong, thick trees and lots of grass and low shrubbery. Now here comes the best part. We've been talking about how horrible landslides are, right? Well, believe it or not, landslides are actually quite beneficial. I know, it's amazing! It would make sense that something so natural to the earth, though granted very, very devastating, landslides would at least serve some purpose, right? Though not necessarily for people. Researchers have recently discovered that while landslides fill streams with debris and mess up the environment already there, they provide a kind of healthy change for that environment. For example, the logs left behind that are clogging up the streams and ruining their aesthetic beauty actually serve as both shelter and feeding holes for fish. And rocks provide ideal spawning grounds. Avalanches are a type of landslide that also prove to have some benefit. They provide food to scavengers in the form of dead animals, as well as ideal den ground. So, shocker, bears also find the sight of an avalanche particularly beneficial. Grizzly bears in the Columbia Mountains spend about 40% of their time around avalanche sites, eating such plants as avalanche lily root. I know, I don't know what that is either. And other early blooming plants. And where there's food, there are bears. And if you are a female bear looking for a mate, or vice versa, it's like the best speed dating opportunity you could imagine. So actually, by putting up preventative measures against natural landslides, humans could be interfering with certain natural processes that provide for animals' abilities to forage for food and mate. You know, we're humans, we just mess everything up. And now we're going to take a short musical break, courtesy of Jamiroquai, with their song Emergency on Planet Earth.
Okay, so here's the aftermath of landslides. Landslides may not seem like the most destructive natural hazards, but they get in their way, and that may be the last thing you'll ever do. Landslides vary in type and size. A rock falling from a cliff, such as the collapse of the Old Man on a Mountain in New Hampshire, does not incur much damage. However, a huge debris flow, or slump, like the 1999 debris flow in Carabela, Venezuela, can kill thousands of people and wipe out whole towns. No matter the size or type, landslides happen all over the world. All of them cause destruction, but only some cause human destruction. It is difficult to clean up huge masses of earth, so most landslides are left alone after they settle up. They may cause death, ruin towns and man-made structures, dam rivers, and start earthquakes or tsunamis. To put into perspective, let's look at the month of September this year. The number of landslide events causing one or more fatalities worldwide in September 2010 is 36, and 377 people dead. The worldwide average for September since 2002 is 37.4 landslide events with 770 deaths. Now let's focus on the United States. Landslides happen in all 50 states, causing $1 or 2 billion in damages and 25 to 50 fatalities on average a year. The costliest landslide in United States history was the massive landslide in Thistle, Utah in 1983. It cost over $400 million, adjusted for inflation, to fix, including the destroyed railroad tracks of the Denver and Rio Grande Western Railway Company and Highway 89. In addition, water damage needed to be fixed, resulting from the damming of the Spanish Fork River. The town is buried in so much sediment that almost no one returned to Thistle. Now let's focus even closer to home, New York. In 1993, at the foot of Bear Mountain in Lafayette, the largest landslide in New York in 75 years tore across 50 acres of land, destroying 3 homes and causing many other evacuations. The Tully Farms Road was covered with 15 feet of earth and water from springs near the top flooded downslope. Water is usually involved with landslides, and thus there is often flooding involved. The New York State Geological Survey estimates the total volume of earth moved by the slide to be 1.3 cubic yards. These two examples of landslides show the destruction and aftermath that landslides can cause. Just note that landslides do happen everywhere, because societal suffering and costly damage, and pretty much leave nothing but a still stream of earth in its wake.
Here are a few survival stories for you listeners. On October 8, 2009, a terrible landslide hit Barangay Cayon in Tetian. 35 people were killed as soon as the landslide decimated their village. One woman, Erlina D. Trinidad, was lucky enough to survive after enduring the worst of the entire event. She tries not to remember it. It took the lives of her parents and 2 of her siblings. As the landslide hit her house, she screamed for help. A man she referred to as Gamungin found her and carried her to a place with many other victims. Ultimately, her brother, who wasn't home at the time of the landslide, picked her up and took her to the hospital. Erlina was left with a horrible memory, the loss of her family, and the amputation of her right foot. Now, a terrifying story of a sinkhole, which occurred in Milwaukee in July of 2010. Lance Trankler said 1 minute he was wondering why a traffic light was resting at ground level, and a second later, his SUV fell 20 feet with him in it. The entire event happened so fast, he could not understand what exactly was occurring. Once he was able to see what was occurring, he saw that water was filling the hole and there were torn cables everywhere. Whether he was going to drown or die from the cables, he was not sure. He knew that he needed to get out, though. Luckily, a heroic man named Mark Pollock was nearby and ran to Trankler's rescue. So, what can make a landslide famous? A cool leather jacket and a lead role in a thrilling spy movie? Perhaps. Usually, though, a large number of fatalities associated with the disaster, the location, or the overall damages contribute to a landslide's historical reputation. One specific example of a historically famous landslide is the landslide on July 10, 1949, in Kate, Tajikistan. At 9:45 in the morning local time, a 7.4 magnitude earthquake hit the town, which is located in a fault zone. Unfortunately, because many of the town's settlements were kishlaks, small mud or clay huts, built on precarious mountain slopes, the damage was extensive. The earthquake generated a rock slide on Chalk Rock Mountain, which in turn picked up saturated less from the mountainsides and traveled 7.4 kilometers at a velocity of 30 meters per second. To put this in our terms, the slide traveled 4.6 miles at 67 miles per hour. Konstantin Stanyakovich, a Russian writer who witnessed the event, wrote, "Suddenly, a heavy rumble came, getting stronger and then deafening. The ground faltered and began to shake. We all jumped up in the tent, and at the same time, we fell onto each other. We jumped up and fell again, and this repeated several times. Finally, I managed to climb out of the tent on all fours and held onto a pole, which was hammered into the ground next to the tent. And there I sat, holding onto the pole until the shaking subsided. Nearly the whole slope was boiling and swarming with rockfalls." By the time the landslide was over, it had taken over 12,000 lives and destroyed hundreds of homes. As you can tell from this first-person account, the statistics previously mentioned, the Kate landslide was devastating. It's just one example of powerful landslides.
Next up, all facial reconstruction surgeons, listen up. A granite surgeon might be needed to remodel a disfigured face. We already learned about the different types of landslides, one of which is rock falls. A rock fall recently murdered the oldest man in human history. At 10,000 years old, 40 feet tall and 25 feet wide, the old man of the mountain crumbled on May 3, 2003. The old man was a national landmark found in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. These rocks that could be viewed off the side of a cliff by looking to the north from the town of Franconia jutted out in the shape of an old man's profile. Tourists from across the country came to visit this renowned great stone face. And overnight, it was gone. Glaciers formed the old man thousands of years ago, and ever since he was noticed in 1805, tourists have admired his unusual shape. He's even the New Hampshire state symbol. What caused the collapse? Freezing and thawing caused a crack in the old man's forehead, which continued to widen and eventually needed to be held together with chains. A team was used to maintain the rocks, and the state granted $25,000 for more elaborate weatherproofing. Alas, the rocks were not meant to stay elevated forever, and they fell to many people's dismay. A fund created in 2007 by those who miss the old man will raise money for and will oversee the construction and installation of the Old Man of the Mountain Memorial. Now, stay tuned to hear an interview with David Nielsen, resident of Belmont, New Hampshire, whose family maintained the Old Man of the Mountain for years before its collapse. First off, as I understand it, you and your father maintained the Old Man in the Mountain rock formation in New Hampshire for many years until the formation suffered a rock fall. Is that correct?
That's correct. From 1960, my dad started in 1960, and I started in 1969 with my dad.
Okay. So my first question for you is, in your opinion, what was the significance of the landmark for residents of New Hampshire and for others outside New Hampshire as well?
I believe that it's the spirit that went into settling the state of New Hampshire, and later in later years, the spirit that kind of separates who live in New Hampshire from the rest of the country. And, you know, each state has their own type of spirit that they believe in, but the state of New Hampshire, I believe, is a little bit different and a little bit unique in that we really care about the environment and our roots and our heritage, and I believe that's part of the Old Man of the Mountain.
So how did your family become interested in maintaining him?
My dad went to work for the state of New Hampshire as a bridge builder, and he because of the proximity of where he was working to the Old Man of the Mountain, the state of New Hampshire asked him to begin to look after things, and he used my three older brothers and myself as volunteers for a couple of years, and I went to the Old Man every year since 1969 until after he fell.
Oh, wow. Did you ever know that the rocks were in danger of falling?
No, every measured the old man and by distance and by weight, and we always chart that against previous years in an attempt to look into a crystal ball to see when maybe the old man would fall. And we always realized that it was possible for that to happen, but there were no precipitating events which you could put your finger on and say this is why, or this is what led to it, or it was going to fall and you should have known it was going to happen. All those things taken into consideration in hindsight, there was nothing that would lead you to believe that it was going to fall within the next so many years. We realized and rationalized that at some point in time, since it was put up there to natural events in time, that those same natural events in time would take it down, and they in fact did.
What sort of methods did you use to try and preserve the rocks, and which worked best?
A couple of the things that worked best were we sprayed the granite with an acid preventive chemical, which stopped and slowed down the progress of acid rain to the granite. And that really helped slow down or stop the change, the physical change in the rock. And there were four steel turnbuckles that were installed on the top of his head. And those turnbuckles worked sort of like a hinge on a door, allowing the rocks to move a little bit, but still controlling their movement and not allowing them to move a lot. And then there was a little water diversion ditch, kind of like a modern water slide, that diverted the rainwater away from the old man, because the amount of rainwater that penetrated the cracks in the old man's head is actually what was increasing his rate of demise, so we were trying to slow that down.
So what was your reaction when you heard about the old man's fall?
Well, I was very upset, very devastated. I had actually lost my dad a little bit less than 2 years before that, and it kind of hit me worse than it, losing my dad, losing the old man, and then more to me and more to my family. And it kind of felt like you should have done something, there should have been something else that you do. And, I mean, my dad really believed that the old man was a special place, that it was a place to be held special in your heart. And after my dad died, we buried my dad's ashes in the old man Lebon's left eye. My dad fell with the old man. He lies in the debris field below where the old man was. So that's sort of become a very symbolic graveyard to us and our family and a number of the people that used to take care of the old man.
Well, Mr. Nielsen, I'd just like to thank you on behalf of everyone at Red Alert on WSPN Skidmore College Radio for interviewing with us today, and have a wonderful day.
Medical mistakes claim tens of thousands of lives each year. The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help. When you communicate with a doctor, when you ask more questions, you reduce the risk of suffering a medical mistake. Doctors can't answer if you don't ask. Help reduce your risk. Questions are the answer. Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
Someone
And now for something completely different. Landslides are actually very much connected to other natural disasters. Most natural disasters occur in clusters, but landslides certainly more so. More often than not, it is another natural disaster that causes a landslide in the first place. For example, heavy rains that cause a flood can loosen the earth just enough that it can actually trigger a landslide. Also, as you may well imagine, the shaking of the land by earthquakes are another leading cause of landslides. In regions recently devastated by wildfires, the loss of strong roots of trees and other plants that hold the soil material together can cause landslides, especially if exacerbated by rainfall. So, yeah. Even something as simple and as seasonal as a fast spring snowmelt or an intense rainstorm can create the conditions for a landslide in hilly and mountainous terrain.
In our last few minutes, we're going to be talking about current events involving landslides in order to make their characteristics and capabilities more understandable to you, the listeners. One recent and ongoing event resulting from a landslide is the major flooding happening near Adabad, Pakistan. A landslide hit this rugged part of the world in January 2010, killing 20 people and dumping tons of rock into the Hunza River, producing a natural dam that consequently created a large lake. This immediately caused extensive flooding in the surrounding towns. All bridges were underwater, disabling certain communities from reaching the outside world. In total, 4,000 people were displaced. Now, almost 10 months later, the flooding has decreased, but it's still a problem. Floodwaters have receded from town lines and neighborhoods, but the formed lake hasn't gone anywhere. Because water levels have only slightly changed since August, people are worried that this lake may now be permanent. Consequently, they're planning to drain it in November sometime. Thank you for listening. This has been an episode of Red Alert brought to you by the Masters of Disasters. Tune in next week for an episode about tsunamis.